city employees waiting on our last
two. I think we can do
two.
1068, 1069 together, and we can probably do it in an abbreviated way, Mayor.
Perfect. Can you read 68 and 69, please?
1068, accept bid of Emery & Sons Construction Group for the Slough Fall 104B project for $2,710,128. And 1069, accept bid of James W. Fowler Company for the citywide sewer rehabilitation project for $8,925,000.
So, Larry, can you do both together? And we have Scott Gibson in the audience. Scott, if there are any questions, and I'll turn it over to you.
Yes, I can. Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners.
Morning.
Wow. Push that over there. 1068 is Emery & Sons. I'll go through this really quick. It is the procurement report for Emery & Sons. Their bid is $2,710,128 as read. All they are, we're 5.3% over the engineer's estimate, which, given many of the market conditions lately, isn't really too far out of whack. The participation is a little bit low at 6.4%. And Emery & Sons is a non-certified firm, but they are fully licensed to do business in the city of Portland. If any follow-up questions, I could take those. 1069, it's a procurement report recommending contract with Fowler and J.W. Fowler Company for the sewer rehab project, $8,925,000. The original engineer's estimate on this one was $7.8 million. This is 12.6% over, but it is a long-term project. So there's some compensation in there for probable cost increases. There is a total of $1.8 million, a little over 20% in certified firm participation. Fowler is a non-certified firm, but they are fully licensed to do business in the city. Any questions about those?
Larry, I have a question for you. Is Emery & Sons in the room?
Emery & Sons is in the room.
Since you took the time, why don't you come forward for a second, if that's okay, Mayor?
Sure. Come on up.
Gentlemen, thank you for being here. And we have a staff recommendation going through our normal process to accept this procurement report. But as Mr. Palat has noted, the numbers on our DMW ESB utilization are a little lower than we'd like. And I guess the question I would pose to you is, your perspective on that, and are there things that we can do in partnership to boost those numbers in the future?
I'll speak first. I'm Dan Johnston with Emery & Sons. This is Lance Grease with Emery & Sons. We bid the project as a low bid contractor, and we took, I think we solicited 40 firms in this particular project, and out of that 40 firms, we had seven that responded. Out of the seven that responded, we used four of them. Unfortunately, it didn't total up to the 20% that we're looking for. One of the bigger numbers that we received was from a minority contracting or a concrete company. Their bid was about a $500,000 more than what we wanted or what we could perform it for. But we're willing to look at some of those numbers and increase our participation. We have some room for perhaps some trucking or things we can look at, but we're willing to review those.
This council has been pretty consistent that they view this part of our contracting as very important because we're expanding opportunity to people. And obviously, your company does great work, and you get your fair share of contracts, and we appreciate that. There may be things that we can do at the city to help, in which case I hope you'll work with procurement. We'd also ask you to take affirmative steps in your own company to build those relationships with some of the emerging minority contractors, subcontractors. Maybe they're struggling a little bit because they don't have access to capital. Maybe they don't have they're not under an umbrella insurance policy. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't have enough projects lined up so that their cost structure on one is higher. You may actually be in a position to help us meet the citywide goals. And I wanted to just call out this number because it is disappointing, but I'd like to offer a friendly challenge as you continue to bid on this work that we work together to boost those numbers.
Sure.
Commissioner Fritz?
I'm just wondering what you're doing to boost your own company's employments of women and minorities?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you well.
I'm interested in what your company is doing to employ women and minorities within your company.
We have an open policy. I think our staff, I'm honestly not sure, we have in the office, there's, I bet it's 50-50 between men and women. The field, not so much. We do entertain or offer that opportunity for anybody to work for us. The problem now that we see is with the gentlemen before us, they're just not in the workforce. But we do use the with NUCA to try to hire the outfits.
Yeah. NUCA IBW?
Yeah, Northwest College of Construction.
And do you ever contact Oregon tradeswomen to see if they've got graduates coming out that could be working on your projects?
That'd be Lansing.
I never have done that, no.
I would suggest that might be another way to help meet the overall goals, which is to make sure, as you just heard, that everybody has opportunities for high-paying jobs. I would suspect that probably your office staff would get paid less than those in the field. Mm-hmm. And there are graduates coming on board who, with the right mentoring and promoting, can be a great asset to your company.
Yeah, we had a couple intern this last summer from Oregon State, a woman intern, so learning our trade as well. And
I know through the solicitation process on this, in addition to the subcontractors, I did send solicitations to OWAMI, the Metropolitan Contractor Partnership Small Business Association. Just sent them the same solicitation I sent everyone else to make their members aware of the opportunity as well.
Well, I'm not going to make this a formal part of whatever the council action, but would you gentlemen make a commitment to this council, should you be chosen for this work, to follow up with the procurement office just to review your current efforts and to brainstorm ways that you might be able to boost your efforts in future contract solicitations?
Sure.
Mr. Platt, could you then have that conversation with them?
Absolutely, Commissioner. We have some, as you are well aware, we have some pretty gifted outreach people in our organization, and we would be happy to do whatever we can do to increase the percentage.
Yeah, and I think, the results are going to speak for themselves. Your Emery and Sons Construction Group is from time to time selected to do work, and so the next time there's a contract, we'll look a little closer at those numbers, and we'll ask you if we're making progress. So thank you, gentlemen, for being here.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Before I accept motions, is there any public testimony on either of these items?
No other sign up.
I'll accept a motion, please, to accept the bid of Emery and Sons Construction Group.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on 1068. Call the roll on 1068.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for being here and for your time this morning. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye.
The report's accepted. I'll accept a motion on 1069.
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and a second to accept the report. Please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye.
The report's accepted. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And long last, the patient city treasurer sitting in the back of the room calculating time equals money. Please call item number 1071.
Item 1071, authorize a competitive solicitation for banking services for a 5-year contract period at an estimated cost of $800,000.
Commissioner Jennifer Fish is asking you to offer an amendment. Given the delay in this coming forward, the cost has now jumped to $850,000. She would ask that we put an emergency clause on it.
Very good. We have a motion to put an emergency clause.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I got the first half of the joke, and then I missed the second half. That's just embarrassing. Even Jamie's over there heckling me from the audience.
It's been that kind of day.
This is awful.
She's a good audience.
Colleagues, I'm just going to move along. City code requires the city to periodically and competitively solicit for the services we use. This ensures that the city's procurements are fair, efficient, effective, accountable, and completely without humor. The city relies on banking services to facilitate its daily financial operations, receiving tax payment and utility bill payments, paying our vendors, issuing payroll, and the like. This ordinance will authorize Treasury to solicit for banking services since the city's current contract is due to expire in July of 2018. Good morning, or good afternoon now, actually. And if you could state your name for the record.
Good afternoon. Jennifer Cooperman, City Treasurer. So as the mayor explained, this is our periodic competitive solicitation for banking services. Banking services refers to all of our depository accounts and services, all of our disbursement services, activities in the branch, online account access and reporting, and anything else that might come along related to banking. This is intended to be an RFP for 5 years' worth of services, and we look forward to your approval for issuing the RFP.
Colleagues, any questions?
I have one question.
Commissioner Fish.
We've had a debate in prior years about how to gauge, how to evaluate some of these applications in terms of banks that are good community partners. One way I think we do it is we look at their Community Reinvestment Act participation. There's some others. Could you give us a flavor of some of those factors that you will be evaluating as you screen potential bank partners?
Absolutely. Every year that I have been at the city, the RFPs that we have issued have allocated 20 points out of 100 points for corporate responsibility. And those type of questions look at the Community Reinvestment Act score. That's actually in a different section this year. I'm putting it into the organization section. But then it looks at the type of activity, financial activity, that these institutions engage in the local community, the City of Portland, the Portland MSA, and the State of Oregon. How much their their corporate responsibility is towards those local communities, what the dollar lending portfolio looks like in affordable housing, what it looks like to deal with offer services for the unbanked population, et cetera. I will be asking a question, heads up everyone who's listening from the banking world, about foreclosure activity. As you know, the city has more actively pursued foreclosures for outstanding city liens, and there have been banks who have had nexuses to properties on the city's foreclosure list. I'll be asking about that. So that's the nature of the
Two, thank you. That's enormously helpful. Is it your professional opinion that we've got it weighted correctly, that 20% is the appropriate weight?
I certainly wouldn't go any less than 20%, but at the beginning of the day, the majority of the emphasis does need to be on the ability of the institution to do the work that we are asking them to do. And I believe that that's close to 50% of the points that I have to award. Then there is the integrity of the organization itself. So there are more questions this year about the regulatory experience of these institutions and the fines and the sanctions that they may have received over the last number of years. And then there is pricing.
So that makes sense. And my final question is, could a bank get a dismal ranking on the 20% weighted portion, a stellar ranking on everything else, and still qualify for our work? Or is that effectively a disqualification?
The last time we went to RFP in 2012, there was a respondent who answered NA for if not all, certainly the majority of the corporate responsibility questions. They did not make it to the finalist round. I think it is weighted appropriately, and institutions who have dealt with us in the last 5 years know that we take it seriously.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Very good, colleagues. Any further questions? Is there any public testimony on this item?
No one signed up.
Very good. Please call the roll. Commissioner Saltzman
had
a question.
The credit union issue. I know in the past we've wanted to get credit unions involved, and mm-hmm. what was the reason why they can't? Or can they?
They can.
Okay.
They could. I'm not And so the credit union issue went back to 2010, when the credit unions were approaching actually the state treasury to be included in the state's collateralization framework for public deposits. Credit unions are now part of that framework, and we do make deposits and have long-term deposits with credit unions as part of our responsible banking efforts that came out of the Occupy movement. We again, going back to the ability to perform the services that we are looking for, we don't typically see credit unions with the panoply of services that we ask for. But certainly, if they offer those services, they're absolutely able to bid
so
on.
So they're fully eligible to respond.
They're fully
to
eligible.
This
it's a question
now.
Of the services that we are asking for. We transact thousands of transactions over the course of the year, hundreds of thousands of transactions. We subscribe to various fraud control measures. We look for internal controls. We look for all sorts of things to protect our money. And if any institution that's able to deliver those services is certainly able to bid.
Okay.
That's incredible. They must have had a really smart treasurer.
Yeah, they must really have. Really far-sighted treasurer we have.
Yeah. All right, colleagues, any further questions?
That was the humor. I have a quick question.
Commissioner Udaly.
It's along the same lines. I mean, I can't pretend that I understand the full scope of our banking needs, but I do know that there's this seemingly insurmountable challenge in that companies that may be more socially responsible just can't fulfill our demands or needs, banking needs. Is there any opportunity? I know we do work with multiple institutions, though. Mm-hmm. Is there any opportunity for us to move a small piece of what we do to either a community bank or a credit union?
We have moved, if you will, some of our deposit activity to those institutions, and that is where we look at the cash on hand and how we invest it. And so when we look at our investing activity, we have a portfolio of securities. We also have a relatively long list of long-term deposits. So it's on the investment side that we have engaged them as opposed to the operational, transactional side. And that operational, transactional side is really where we have found the larger institutions making the investment in the technology to do those things. And I'll just add that the city has centralized its activities. That's good from a control standpoint, also from a pricing standpoint, because it gives us a critical mass. And I've seen institutions break off activities and use multiple institutions to service those. I'm not sure how I would look somebody in the eye and say, well, we're designating you to go here and we're designating you to go to this other institution, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
And everyone has different pricing. That would get uncomfortable.
Thank you.
Sure.
Very good. Please call the roll.
Salzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you for listening carefully to everything this morning. I appreciate that. And thank you for your financial expertise and also your ethics and principles. I very much appreciate the way you provide the services of the city treasurer. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thanks, Jennifer. We are adjourned until 2 p.m.